Let us pray. Lord, indeed, we give thanks to you. We thank you for this opportunity of worship. Speak to our hearts through the inspiration of your holy word. In Christ's name, amen. From Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 14 through 18 that Alan has read, I want to share with you the title of my sermon for this morning, The Master's Job. The Master's Job. Look to your neighbor and say the title with me. The Master's Job. The Apostle Paul is writing this letter to the early day church. Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, comes from the pen of the Apostle Paul. It is a church that the apostle did not found. He's not the founder of the church, but yet he encountered the people of God, the believers. In fact, it is well known, as critical scholars have shared, that this is the most important New Testament church in the Bible. For many New Testament figures came along and shared at this church on the continent of Asia Minor. It is in Ephesus that Priscilla and Aquila, Timothy, the Apostle John, and now the Apostle Paul had the opportunity to minister to this church. The Apostle Paul is not in a setting of freedom, if you will, but he's located in a Roman jail. And while in that jail, the Apostle Paul, he writes these letters to the early day church to encourage them to continue in the faith. This time in biblical history in Ephesus, it was a booming area and everything was happening there, and it was a lot of things that could pull the believer away from knowing and experiencing God. And so the Apostle Paul was right on point. He wanted them to stand firm, to stand firm. Paul was able to say this because he himself was standing firm. Paul, even though he was in a prison, even though Paul now was incarcerated, yet he was standing firm on his faith. In fact, if you have your Bibles and you look at your Bible, and especially the King James Bible, you will see that the Apostle Paul, he acknowledged that he was not a prisoner of the Roman government, but he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And so Paul writes this letter to encourage the church to stand firm and to stand up. In fact, perhaps you have used this term before. He's a stand-up guy. He's a stand-up guy. That means someone you can depend on, someone who's committed, someone who is loyal, someone who can continue to maintain their integrity and well-being, even under difficult situations and pressure. Well, we have a stand-up young lady who's here, and I want to introduce her to you. She's on the back row on my right, and she is our interim day school director, Cindy. Let's give her a hand. Just wave your hand, Cindy. All right. To stand, to be able to persevere. The Apostle Paul wanted the believers to stand firm. Now, if you don't believe that, I want you to look at Ephesians, the 6th chapter, if you have your Bibles, verse 11. The Apostle Paul says, stand. In verse 13, the Apostle Paul says, stand. Alan read for us verse 14. And if you look on the back of your sermon notes, you'll see the first word is what? Stand. Paul wanted the believers to stand in the midst of opposition and persecution. He wanted them to stand. Perhaps you've heard the story about a preacher who would greet the members at the back of the door, like Mike and I do from time to time. And while there at the back of the door, he greeted a parishioner who had not been to church for a while. And he said to him, you need to join the army of the Lord. You need to be part of the army of the Lord. And that parishioner responded, I am a part of the army of the Lord. He said, you are a part of the army of the Lord? He said, yes. So the preacher asked, he said, well, if you're part of the army of the Lord, I only see you on Christmas and Easter. That parishioner responded. He said, I am part of the army of the Lord. I'm in secret service. Well, we should be in secret service. We should be visible. We should be seen. We should be encouraging others. And so the Apostle Paul, he writes this letter to the early day church to inspire them to continue to persevere, even in the midst of opposition and persecution. He wanted them to continue in the faith. So much so, if you look closely in this passage of Scripture, Paul reminds us that it is the master, it is the person who's in charge, who provides the resources for those who are employed in the army. In fact, if you look at your second point in your sermon notes, is ask this question, what is stewardship? Look to your neighbor and ask that question, what is stewardship? Well, let me help you with this definition. Stewardship is the defining theme of the God-human relationship. God and human beings coming together in a relationship. It is the master's job, God. Just like we have a hierarchy in the military, it starts with the commander-in-chief, and it just goes all the way down, ends with the private. But the commander-in-chief is in charge. The Apostle Paul reminds us God is the master. God is in charge, and God's job is to provide his stewards, his disciples, his followers with all the resources that they need to go forth into battle. And it is indeed a spiritual warfare the apostle would have us to note, not to be so idly by and pretending that things don't exist, that we are indeed in a spiritual warfare, a battle daily. The Apostle Paul is reminding them that indeed it is God who provides the resources. For instance, if you have your Bibles, look at Genesis, the first chapter and chapter 2, and you'll notice it is God who created the heavens and the earth. It is God who created Adam. It is God who created Eve and placed them in the Garden of Eden. But then God provides them with the resources that they need. And as good stewards, it is their responsibility, as well as ours today, to take advantage of the resources that God has given and to be actively engaged in what God has called us to do. You look at it as it relates to God speaking and God sharing all through the Bible and to this point with the Apostle Paul. And Paul would remind us that we are accountable to God. It is well stated that military soldiers have between 20 to 30 pounds of ammunition on them to go into battle. But even though they have the power, the dunamis, that Greek word dunamis, if you will, even though they have the power, they don't have the authority. Their authority to go in battle is given by the commander and chief. But God would want us to know that Jesus Christ, as it looks into the lives of believers, Jesus Christ has all the authority. All the authority has been given unto him. You remember Jesus' words? Jesus says, all authority is given unto me, and I give it to my disciples. But no military soldier can go into battle without hearing from on high. And so if you look at this passage very closely as it relates to the stewardship, God and human relationship, it reminds us that indeed we're dealing each and every day with our adversary, the devil, Satan, the deceiver, the father of all lies. And we continue to wrestle, not against one another, but the Bible says in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, in the 12th verse, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. It is a sense of flesh and the spirit battling against each other day in and day out. On one point, you're doing well spiritually, but then the next minute, you're doing poorly fleshly. It's that inner being, the spirit and the flesh, they had war against each other. It is like two dogs fighting each other, the flesh and the spirit, trying to do it according to God's will and then trying to do it according to my will. And you have those two forces meeting head to head. Well, which one wins? The one you feed the most. And so the Apostle Paul was sharing so explicitly, and he was encouraging the early day church to maintain, to hold on, to stand firm. And he wanted us to stand because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You look at this passage of scripture and you'll see that the Apostle Paul is correct, that indeed we should stand because the master's job is to provide the equipment that each and every soldier needs to stand. Because Satan's desire is to pull us away from God, to pull our families apart, to pull our relationships apart, to pull us away from studying God's Word, knowing God's Word, from pulling away from us standing on the Word of God, standing on our testimony, standing on the blessings that God gives us each and every day. So Paul writes here, stand firm, stand firm. But then Paul gives us six equipments that comes from God that we need. The first five are defensive weapons. The last one is on offense. And God wants us to be prepared to deal with the devil. In fact, I would have you to note that the devil doesn't have a book or manuscript. God gives us a book. 66 love letters that God reminds us of the attacks of the devil and how he loves us over and over again. So if you have a pencil and a piece of paper, let me go to the next point as it relates to God. Every piece of the armor is designed to protect the people of God from the attack of whom? The enemy. From the attack of the enemy. That's Satan. The Bible says that he first gives us the belt of truth. The belt of truth. It is the belt of truth that is needed today. Some would easily say we need to remind our young brothers that they need a belt and to wear their belts. We don't need to see your hind parts. Hello? Yeah, need the belt of truth. And if Jack Nicholson was here from the movie A Few Good Men, that line, the devil can't handle the truth. The devil can't handle the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth and the light. He is the way. And Jesus Christ wants us to stand on the belt of truth, the Word of God. The next armor is the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness to protect the soldier as he goes out to battle against his vital organs being attacked. In essence, his heart. And the Bible reminds us, out of the heart comes the issues of life. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If our heart is right, our relationship with God will be right. The next armor, as it relates to our feet. Feet fitted with the readiness of peace. Now, if you have a King James translation, it says, having your feet with the shoes of the preparation of the gospel. It is reminding us of the Roman soldiers, of the soldiers of that day that would wear their sandals and go forth into battle. But those sandals, they were firm, they were solid. They wouldn't allow a soldier to slip to the left or slip to the right. But that soldier would have firm ground to stand on. And that soldier could go into battle because that soldier was now with the readiness of peace. In the midst of war, that soldier had peace within. That peace which surpasses all understanding. And then the shield of faith. The shield of faith was that shield that the soldier would use to what? To block out all the fiery dots of the arrows of the evil one. It is well said that a soldier would soak his shield, make sure his shield was completely soaked with water in order to that shield would be able to just have those fiery dots, those fiery arrows, those flaming fires to just fall off of that shield. And that soldier was able to continue to move forward into battle. We need the shield of faith. And the next, the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation would protect the soldier's head, yes, but also that intellect, the brain. In order for a soldier would keep his mind on his responsibility, and we as God's soldiers can keep our minds on Jesus. If we have the helmet of salvation. If you have your Bibles, look at Romans the 12th chapter. Romans the 12th chapter reminds us to present our bodies as a living what? Sacrifice, acceptable and holy unto God. And then it goes on by saying, as it relates to our intellect, to what? To keep our minds on Jesus. Let this be in you, that your minds be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you will know what is acceptable and right. It was reminding us to keep our minds on Jesus. And if our minds are right, then they will stay focused on Jesus. But lastly, he gives us the last weapon, a weapon that we have at our disposal daily. You can use it electronically, or you can be old school like me and just like to hear the pages turn. But it reminds us to read and study God's word daily. It is the sword of the Spirit. It is the only offensive weapon that we have at our disposal. It is the Word of God. But if you look closely, I share with you there are six items that the soldier needs. And guess what? All of those items are up front. There's no what? There's no back piece. Why? Because God's soldier is not backing up, but God's soldier is going onward into battle, marching off to war. We're not looking to retreat. We're looking to go ahead on and fight the devil. And we fight the devil not based upon our power or our might, but we stand on the word of God. Amen? That's what it's all about. The Apostle Paul was reminding his hearers to stand on the word of God, to know that you're in a spiritual warfare and you need to stand on God's word. Let me close by sharing with you. It was Napoleon Bonaparte. Napoleon Bonaparte summons all of his best leaders to come in the strategy room, the war room, if you will. And strategically, they looked at a map. And Napoleon Bonaparte said, if it wasn't for that red spot on the map, that red spot, you see it, I can conquer the whole world. I can conquer the whole world. That was his desire, power, to conquer the whole world. But that red spot would hinder him. What was that red spot? The British Islands. It was that spot, Waterloo, that Napoleon would lose. It was a great reminder for you and for me to be reminded. If I can use my imagination, I can see that Satan had gotten in a war room, in a strategy room, with all of his followers, and he pointed. He said, I can conquer all of the whole world, But it's that red spot on Calvary's hill that I'm going to have a problem with. And he was right. And I thank God it is the master's job to provide for our salvation, to redeem us. And only by the shedding of blood can there be remission for sin. And Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, would take away the sins of the whole world. Not a red spot on Calvary, but the blood of Jesus. And what can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I thank God for the blood that hasn't lost its power. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. He's worthy to be praised. We thank the Master for doing his job. Let us stand as we sing, Onward Christian Soldiers, marching off to war with the cross of Jesus, going on as before.